We are holding the beginning of the fourth parak, Lamed Aleph Amud Beis at the bottom. All right, so now we're getting back to where this parak, we're going to get back to matters of Nida and Zava. We're going to talk more about it, about Damta, about Dam Torah, which we talked some about in the previous parak, and then later on we're also going to talk about the actual, many of the actual dinim of how you count Vestas, which is when we consider when there's a vest kavua and when not, which is a pretty critical thing in Amos Anger. So Mishnah starts off, B'nois Kusim Nidos Ma'ari Sofam. The daughters of Kusim, we know the Kusim famously are the Goyim. They're the descendants of the people that Sancheirev brought to recolonize Eretz Yisrael after the Esther and Shavatim were taken into Golos. So they were being attacked by lions, so they converted. And you have Machloikas throughout Shas, whether they're genuine, at least at one point in history, were they genuine Geirim, Geirei Emesain, or were they Geirei Arayas? Were they only Geirim because of the fear of the lions, and therefore not really Geirim? So according to the opinion that they were Geirei Emes, and they are Jews. However, eventually the Chachamim discovered that they're worshipping Avodah Zarah, and then they declared them out and out going. But anyway, during the time when they were accepted to be Jews, according to the opinion, Geirei Emes, and actually Tosfos HaRosh over here has a big discussion on the question, is our Mishnah taking the view Geirei Emes, or can it maybe work according to the opinion Geirei Arayas? Anyway, the point is that the Kusim, as we're going to see in the Gemara, they were careful with some mitzvahs, but not with others. And with certain mitzvahs, and with many mitzvahs, they were careful only with certain details of them in particular. They didn't believe in Torah Shabbat. So in that sense, they were like the Tzadokim. But beyond even that, because there were even mitzvahs from Torah Shabbat that they weren't necessarily so careful with, as well as we'll see in the Gemara. So like this, the Chachamim made a rule that Bnois Kosim, the daughters of the Kosim, Nidos Me'ari Sosam, are considered Nida even while they're in the crib. In other words, from when they're born, they're considered Nida, which would be relevant, of course, that therefore if they touch Turma or what have you, then they're Metame. The reason is because conceivably you could have, the halacha is, as the Gemara is going to tell us, that if a girl has bleeding from her uterus, even on the day she's born, she becomes a Nida. That's an established halacha. So therefore, in the case of the Kusim, though, they don't realize that's the case, and therefore, if a girl has bleeding at that age, they're not going to consider her a Nidda, and therefore, Ms. Suffolk, we consider them Niddas throughout. Tosfos HaRosh over here, Tosfos a little bit later, discusses a point that the Gemara and Shabbos actually says a different point, that there's something called the Yud Ches Dover, there's something called the famous 18 Gzeres that they made at one point when the Shammai outnumbered Beis Hillel. They made 18 Gzeres, and one of them is this B'nois Kosim Nidus Ma'ari Sosom. So if the Gemara is going to tell us over here it's based on a Sophic, then the Rameir is going to tell us it's based on a Sophic, and you don't need Yud Ches Dover for it. It's a Sophic Daraisa, and Sophic Daraisa the Chumrah. So there's a good deal of discussion about the pros and cons of it. One possibility is that maybe our Mishnah is taking the view Geirei Arayas Hain, and therefore they shouldn't have the dinim of Nida or Zava at all, and only Midrabanan are we imposing that. Another possibility is that they are considered Jews, but what it is you have, there was a Gzeirah to keep them off limits in order that Jews don't intermarry with them. But aside from that, there's the issue that there may be the suffix that they may have had bleeding at a very young age.
So any ger who's a ger suffix today, let's say, is it the same thing?
So anyone who's a ger suffix, I mean, you would have to treat them, I guess you'd have to be machmer and say that they, you know, they're a Jew or a goy. Fine. I mean, nowadays we don't really have Tumah V'Tahara anyway, but as far as marrying them, look, I mean, if it's a suffix, you can't marry them, right? But over here, the point about not marrying Kosim was not even so much based on the suffix about them being whether they're Gator or not, because again, you don't need a Gator Dirabanan to say not to marry them if they're considered Goyim. But right, well, whether it's Daraisa or not is actually a whole other question. You have a huge amount of discussion to what extent exactly are the dinim about intermarriage and interrelationships, what parts are Daraisa, what parts are Dirabanan. Is it Daraita only for the seven nations and the Rabbanon for everybody else? Is it Daraita only if it's Derachasnus, if you marry them, and the Rabbanon just even having a relationship with them outside of marriage? Whatever, we learned about it in Arizona. We talk about it even there.
Anyway,
the point is, no, so it's not. It's more a matter of, though, that even if we say that they are Geire Emes, even if we say they are true Geirim, nevertheless, because of their attitude towards Torah and Mitzvah, the Chacham didn't want regular Jews intermarrying with them.
They still exist, they
exist now. I mean, nowadays they're considered Goyim Gomorim, but yeah, they still exist. There's a small community of them in Shechem and whatever. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so therefore, they're nidus ma'ari tachton. V'chusim metamim mishkav tachton ke'elyon. Also, the male kusim are metame a mishkav tachton ke'elyon. Now, what does that mean? We're going to see in the Gemara exactly what it means. Mishkav tachton means something that they lie on, that's underneath them. Ke'elyon would be something that's above them. Like what we learned at the beginning of the Sefer is something called Mabes. So we'll see in the Gemara exactly what that means. It was something that's hanging over them, whatever. Yeah. So what exactly we mean Tachton Ke'elyon, we'll see in the Gemara. But the point is, the Mishnah says it's Nishen Boilin Yidus, because we have to assume that all the Kusim are Boilin Yidus, for reasons that we're going to learn in the Gemara, because they're not so careful with certain details of the Dinim of Nida, and therefore it's possible they have relations with their wives at times when they would be considered Nida on a Daraita level, and therefore we consider them Misafik to have the Tumah of Boilin Yidus. The Hen Yoshvis are called Dam Vadam. What happens actually is the women, the Kusi women, consider themselves Nida for any kind of blood that comes out, meaning regardless of the color. Now, we learned previously that there's only five colors of blood that make a woman Tomei. The Kusim don't hold of that whole concept, so they would take the view that even if she has, let's say, a yellow discharge or something, she would still be considered Nida. Now, on the face of it, what's the problem with that? It means you're all the better off. It means they're going to the mikvah more often than they should. Rashi points out, based on the Gemara later on, the problem with that is, imagine you have, let's say, that a Kusi woman has a yellow discharge on Sunday, and then she has a red discharge on Monday. As far as she's concerned, she's Nida beginning from Sunday. Well, she knows that the Torah says that a woman is Nida for 7 days. Therefore, she figures she goes to the Mikvah Motzei Shabbos, and then she has relations with her husband. Meanwhile, what actually happens, the discharge on Sunday didn't make her Nida because it was yellow. Only the one on Monday, which is red, would make her Nida. So therefore, really, she should only be going to the Mikvah Sunday night. So now she has relations with her husband. Must have happened.
When she's Nida with yellow, and then again.
The din would be like this. Once a woman is Nida, then throughout those 7 days, doesn't matter what discharges there are, she's Tomei regardless. If a woman has a red discharge on Sunday, then it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter whether there's any discharge of any color on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, etc. She's Tomei through Shabbos anyway. Must have Shabbos, she'll go to the mikvah. But the point is, let's say, for example, if a woman had a yellow discharge on Sunday, nothing happens. That's not the beginning of her Nida cycle yet. Only if she has a red one on Monday. Then we say that's the beginning, that's the first of her 7 days. Sunday, then, is the last of her 7 days. She goes to the mikvah Sunday night. The Kusi women don't realize that. Therefore, they're going to consider once they had a yellow discharge on Sunday, they're going to think of themselves as already Nida. When they have the red discharge on Monday, they're going to think it doesn't make a difference. They're already Nida anyway. They're going to go to the mikvah Motzei Shabbos. Motzei Shabbos or Sunday during the day, they and their husbands are going to have relations, and their husband, therefore, is going to be a Boil Nida. So therefore, we consider all of the Kusim to be Boil Nida. The Ein Chayovin Alein Al Bias Mikdash. However, you're not Chayav for them for Bias Mikdash. Hello? So Rashi explains, Aleha means, let's say, for example, you have the clothing. So let's say, for example, we just said that the male Kusim, Amitamim Mishkav Tachton Ke'elyon. Whatever blanket or bed or whatever they lie on is considered Tomei. Now, if they were actually, if we were going to say that, let's say, for example, not the Boil Nida, we'll see in the Gemara, the Boil Nida actually is in a separate category, but let's say the woman, we said, Benois Kusim Nidus Mari Sosem. So that means we're considering them Nida. Now, what does that mean? If then we know that if a Nida lies on a bed or on a blanket or whatever, then that blanket becomes an Abba Truma. If somebody else lies on it, they become Tumma. So what would happen if the woman was a Vade Nida and somebody were to then lie down on a blanket that she lay down on, he would be Tumma, and therefore if he goes into this message, he's going to be Chayav Kares to recover him. But over here, because the whole thing is only a suffix, we don't know after all whether this particular Kusi woman is a Nida or not. So therefore, a person wears those clothing or lies down on those clothing or whatever, and then goes into this mikvah, he's potter from a carbon. Other mafarshim explain a little differently that what it means is that, for example, let's say a Jewish man has relations with a Kusi woman, where we said that they're considered tamei, they're considered nidim misafik, but nevertheless, it's only a safik, it's not a vadai, so we can't consider him a vadai, boil nidah, to say such that if he goes into this mikdash, he should be chayav a karbin. The ain surf and alayna sa truma, and we don't burn truma for Kusi touching it, mipnesha tumas and safik, because the whole truma is only a matter of safik. And then for that, we have to be told. And then Rambam points out, the Chachamim made the rules for the Tumah of the Kusim that we're talking about in our Mishnah. They made it Dafka a little bit different in order that we should realize that it's a Safek and not comes a burden Tumah and Kachim because of it. Okay. So the Gemara starts off, Hechidon. What's the scenario over here that we're saying, Venos Kusim Nidus Mari Safek? That we're saying that a Kusi girl, as soon as she's born, is considered a Nidah. What's the scenario? If we know that she actually had a discharge from her uterus after the Didan Nami, then forget about daughters of Kusim. The same thing would be true of a regular Jewish girl. If she has uterine bleeding on the day she's born, she's also Nida until they take her to the mikveh. The Idalai Kachazian, and if they haven't had any bleeding, Didhu Nami Loi, then why are we considering them Nidus? We're talking about, we don't know for a fact one way or the other whether this particular Kusi girl ever had a discharge or not. But what it is, so it's the stam. The reason why we're considering her nidah misafik is like this. You do have a minority of girls that do have this kind of discharge earlier in life. I mean, most girls, of course, only start having menstrual discharges when they become when they reach puberty, when they hit 12, 13 years old or whatever. But you do have a myth that have it at younger ages. Therefore, well, here we're talking about even from when they're born. It happens sometimes. It happens. The extra hormones or whatever it is exactly. So it happens sometimes that a girl, even on the day she's born, there might be blood coming out of her uterus. And then she'd be considered nidah. So therefore, since it's a mirth, we have to be choshish, and we say that all of them are considered tummy. Uman tana b'chayish l'miyota, which tana would that be who cares about the miyot? Usually we would say, after all, you go according to the roiv. Roiv don't have, so what's the problem? So which tana says otherwise? The answer is Reb Meir. That would be specifically Reb Meir. He believes that we do have to consider the miyot as well. In fact, in general, that's what we're going to give another example. But actually, that's what I was saying before. Tosfos gets into a long discussion over here about that there are other places that seem to imply that this din that we're saying in our Mishnah is valid according to the Chachamim as well. So that's what Tosfos gets into a long discussion about the possibilities. Maybe the Chachamim would agree that the din is a valid din for a different reason. It's a Zeder Drabanan, because the Chachamim didn't want Jews getting into relationships and intermarrying with Kusim, given their lousy attitude towards Torah and Mitzvah and the Mikdash and whatever. But the reason that we're saying over here, based on Miut, would be valid only according to the Meir. So the Chachamim would agree with the din, but they would say for a different reason. Different reason because the Chachamim made a greater one of the Yud Chas Davar that they don't want Jews intermarrying with Kusim. But that reason wouldn't necessarily make it, let's say, that so in other words, when we're saying the reason that we're giving over here based on the Mir, in other words, implying that it's a Din D'Oraisa, would be according to the Meir. The Chacham would say it's not D'Oraisa, it's only D'Rabban. That's part of Tosfos' discussion over here. Tosfos gets into a much, much more discussion about it, but okay. Anyway.
Perhaps to a regular family, that if you go to business and have an 8-year-old girl.
So usually an 8-year-old girl hasn't had any discharge yet, so no problem. If she has, then she has to go to the mikveh first. That's all she has to do.
She wouldn't look, you don't know.
It's her mother's job to check, you know, I guess. Yeah. In general, when people go to the Bais HaMikdash, they're supposed to tell before. It's just in case. Men or women, they might be tummy. They might be tummy from some. Forget about Tumas Nidja. They might be tummy from accidentally touching a sheriff. They might be tummy from whatever. You know, it's always a good idea to go to the mikveh before you go to the Bais HaMikdash. Okay. Also, Tosfos points out another detail in this connection. Also, like this, you could have argued like this. Yes, Reb Meir is choshish for the miut, as we're going to say over here. But after all, against that, you have the girl has a chazaka. even if you're going to say that she bled at a very young age, Mistama didn't happen the second she was born. So for a second after she was born, she had a cheskasara. That plus the fact that Roy don't anyway, that itself, even according to the mayor, shouldn't be an issue. And that all goes into what the... So therefore, Tosfos says, even Rav Meir, therefore, would say that there might be... Rav Meir would say there's a reason for the Chachamim to reinforce this din using one of the... with one of the Yud Ches Dover, with one of the 18 Xeris that they made when Mitzramai outnumbered Bechilo. Okay, anyway. So the Tanya, how do we see that Rav Meir holds of Miut? Like this, we learn in a Braisa, Kotten uktana loichilten b'lem yam in divir Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that a kotten or that a young boy or a young girl below bar or bas mitzvah are not able to do chalitza or yibum. Omru loyla Rav Meir, so the Chachamim said to Rav Meir, yofa amar tashem chilten. Okay, you said very well that they can't do chalitza because ish kotten b'parsha, because in the section about chalitza in Parsha Tisete, it mentions the moyach to ish lakachas, etc. So it says the word ish, so you have to be an ish. Umakshin, an ish ala ish, and then we have a hekesh over there about that between the man and the woman, so therefore we see that he has to be a gadol and she has to be a girl. So that we can't do chalitza, that they can't do chalitza, the Chachamim say to the mayor, fine, that's good. But they say, what's the problem? Why shouldn't they be able to do yibum? Let's say, for example, you could say they're not yoitz to the mitzvah of yibum yet. You could say they need to be a gadol. Big deal, okay? So they're not doing any aveira by doing it. They can suppose that he did. You could say that at least on a derabbanan level, it should be a valid yibum. They'll grow up together, the two of them. Eventually, they'll become bar and bas mitzvah. Then they'll be able to be goymer. Then they'll be able to properly get married and consummate it. And then that's that. So what's the problem? Amr Lahem, so the mayor says, the reason why I say no is cotton shemi yimotze tzris, kana shemet yimotze ailonis, because if a cotton does yibum, it may turn out when he gets older that he becomes it turns out that he's a soris, that he's infertile, and a soris is not able to do yibum for him. Now we have to always remember that yibum is one of those rare cases where there's no middle ground. Either they're doing a mitzvah, either they're doing the mitzvah of Yibum, or they're doing the Aveda of having relations with an Erva. Because if there's no mitzvah of Yibum, then she's his brother's wife, and she's an Erva to him. So therefore, so the mayor is saying, now, the halacha is, a soris can't do Yibum, because the whole purpose of Yibum is lahakim la'achav shame, and here there can't be, because he can't uphold his brother's name, because he's not going to have children. The same way she can't be an Ilonis for the same reason. So therefore, cotton shemi yimot is soris. He can't be a cotton when he does boom, because he might turn out to be a soris. Kana shemet yimot ailonis. She can't be a kana, because it may turn out that right now, they're 7, 8, 9 years old. We don't know yet. They haven't developed signs of puberty yet. We don't know what's going to happen in the future.
So a 9 years old, it's bia, it's bia.
That's true, but that's the point. But Meir is saying, but now it's not bia. It's bia to a certain extent on a daraisa level, in the sense that, for example, that it can trigger kares or a chatas or other, or and the pasul or whatever. But as far as yibum, fine. So Meir is saying, if it wasn't for the issue of soris or ilonis, then fine. But we don't know at 9 years old whether he's going to turn out to be a soris. We don't know. It may be that, you know, he becomes 13, no simonim yet. He reaches 20, still no simonim yet. And as we're going to actually learn in the next parak, we're going to talk about the dinim of what ages and what physical characteristics are needed for a boy to be considered a gadol and a girl to be considered a gdola. So therefore, we don't know in advance now when the kid is 8, 9, 10 years old what he's going to turn out. The same thing we don't know with her.
When he's 13, you know.
When he's 13, you can see, does he have shtei sire? Remember, cotton and katana doesn't just mean age, it also means shtei sire. So once he's 13, if he has shtei sire, no problem. He's obviously not a sire. He's Roy Lahakim Shane. That's how, well, and if he hasn't, then fine. Then he can't yet, then he's not a godless yet. When we say,
No. He says it cannot be a sire, even though he's
the definition of a sire is that he doesn't have shtei sire and he has certain other physical characteristics that show that he's infertile. He has his skin is softer than usual, and he doesn't grow a beard, and this and that and the other. Once he develops shtei sire, so that demonstrates now he's not considered a soris. He may be infertile for other reasons, but those reasons don't preclude him from doing yibum. You have men who are infertile for many reasons, right? But that doesn't preclude them from doing yibum. Only if he's a soris, only if he has the actual physical characteristics that demonstrate that he has whatever it is, low testosterone or an extra Y chromosome or whatever the possibilities are, whatever. Yeah. So yeah. Okay, and the same thing, she may turn out to be an Ilonis. So then Rav Meir says, you have a problem. Now they did Yibum at a young age. Now they're going to turn out that he's a Soris or she's an Ilonis, and it comes out that they've had relations with an Erva.
She
She was married already, so what? But she could be married and still be an eyewitness. Actually, Tosfos brings up the point that on the face of it...
That's why she's not told yet.
Actually, Tosfos' point, actually, though, you do bring up a good point, because Tosfos asked the question, why should it matter if she's an eyewitness? If it turns out she's an eyewitness, then it means the brother's kedushin on her were betos anyway. He wouldn't have been matadish if he knew she's an eyewitness, and then there's no issue of erva anyway.
But there was no issue.
If it turns out that there was kedusha toast, then there was no kedusha. There was no marriage. So then it's
And there's no
so therefore there's no ever. Okay, Tosfos answers one possibility that it could be that the brother knew that she might be an Ilonis and said, "I'm willing to take the chance," and then therefore I'm being the Kaddisher regardless. Okay. So the point is, therefore, so we see that a mayor goes according to the mute. The fact that it's only a mute of children that are authorities to an island. Yeah, okay. The Rabbanan answer is Zilbot the Robert of Tanim. You have to go according to the majority of Tanim. The Roy of Tanim loves to listen. They know Brazil, and most Tanim are not to listen. Similarly, Zilbot the Robert of Tanis go according to most girls. The Roy of Tanis, love I learned it, you know. So therefore, you see that Reb Meir holds that we have to be concerned about the mute.
Maybe it's just in this case.
Once we say, see that he holds of that in this case, then we know that he holds of it in other cases as well.
Why can't he make me ill?
So according to that, what the Rabbanon are arguing to Reb Meir. You should. They should be able to do even when they're caught in the Kana. Yeah. Whereas Reb Meir is arguing that. Right. So the same thing. In our Mishnah, the Chachamim might not hold that Benoit's Kutim Nidus Mary Sussan, or if they do, they would hold this only because the Yud Ches Dover, like Tosfos is saying. But the Reb Meir, who's Choshish for Miut, he would say that on a Daraisa level, you have to be concerned about it. Okay.
Bottom line is a luck over here, part of the right?
Well, okay, yeah. Either way, we say Benoit's Kutim Nidus Mary Sussan. Whether we say it's because it's Daraisa or because it's Rabbanon, doesn't it? It's kind of neither here nor there.
Oh, the reason
Kuntzer Bun
was we don't because
that's an ish. No, that's as far as Yibum. Right. No, that's as far as Chalista. Here we're talking about Benoit's Kutim Nidus Mari Sussan. Now we're getting back to the topic of our Mishnah.
This is an example to
show that a mayor holds a mirror. Right.
I was just going to, even for a cotton.
So according to the Chachamim, there could be.
Yeah, but there's
the Yibum. The Halacha, in fact, would. No, that's by Chalista. That's a chalitza. There has to be an issue. So for Yibum, technically, yes. If they do Yibum at a young age, fine. They can do Yibum at a young age. The Chacham have no problem with that.
Does that mean that everything goes for Yibum, goes for chalitza?
No. We learned there are people who are able to do Yibum but not chalitza, and vice versa. You have many cases involving Tanim, involving Chershim, involving all kinds of fun stuff. We learned about it back in Yibum. Okay, anyway. So the question is, Eimer de Shamat le Reb Meir, Yorta de Shriach. Okay, but you know what? You find Reb Meir is saying Yechoshish for the mute, where the mute is at least somewhat common. I mean, okay, Soris and Ilonis are not very common, but at least they're common enough to have a
wording.
De Shriach, Eimer de Shamat le Reb Meir. Yes, you can say that you've heard that Reb Meir holds of Miurta de Shriach when it's a relatively common mute. Aval Miurta de Lo Shriach mi Shamat le. This case of Benoit's Kutim Nidus Mari Sussan, this that you want to say that the Kutzi girl is Tomei from birth because she might have had it. It's a minute mute. So why is even Reb Meir concerned about that? The answer is Honami Miurta de Shriachu. Actually, this one is a somewhat more common miyot than you think. You think it's so vanishingly rare? It's not. We have examples to the contrary. The Tanya, we learn in a Brisa, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Maisa Be'ein Bul. It happened in a place called Ein Bul. V'itbiluha Kodim Le'ima. They had to tovel a baby girl, before her mother. In other words, what happened, well, Ein Bul is the name of the place. So what happened was, in other words, the mother had given birth to her. So the mother is Tomei for 14 days. Meanwhile, the girl that had a discharge on the day she was born or the day after, she's only Tomei for 7 days. So therefore, they had to toivel her, as the Gemara is going to say soon, because of Truma. So they ended up having to toivel her before her mother. So her mother has to wait 2 weeks after the birth to toivel. And meanwhile, the baby is being toiveled a week after she's born.
The only thing is that the mother has to handle the baby, the nurse.
So that's true. But at least they could tovel her, as the Gemara is going to say soon, in order to be able to smear her with oil of truma. We're talking about this as a daughter of a kohen. So yeah, you're right. The next time her mother would handle her, her mother would make her tummy. Fine, but at least for the time being, they could. They, yeah.
But
But what is the Kusim? No. Here we're not talking about Kusim. Here we're talking about a regular born Jewish girl. So therefore, once we see that it happens, and the Gemara is going to give a couple of other examples of it as well, then it's not such a mi'ut, it's not just such a minute mi'ut. It's not a mi'ut de lo shchiach. It's already mi'ut de shchiach, and therefore we can apply it to the Kusim.
It's not a mi'ut de shchiach. Why is it a mi'ut de shchiach? It happens one case.
Because we have other cases. V'omar Rebbe, and Rebbe said another example, ma'isa beveis sharim, v'ikvilua kodim le'ima. The same thing happened once in beis sharim, that they had to tovel the girl because she had a re'iyah as a baby before the mother. V'omar Rebbe Yosef, ma'isa b'chum b'disa, v'ikvilua kodim le'ima. And then Rebbe Yosef says the same thing happened at Pompadissa. So we have three cases already, yeah. So that's enough to make a trend, yeah. Okay. So the question is, by the way, but at least it's not to make it, at least it's enough to make it that it's not a mi'ut de lo shchiach. It's not like a one-time thing in history. Okay. Well, keep in mind, first of all, these are only the three that are reported. Second of all, these are only the three where they ended up having to total the girl before her mother. You could conceivably have other cases where she had a discharge, a month old, 2 months old, or whatever. Yeah. No, but the Gemara didn't need to, because the point is we're trying to establish that, you know, it's close to Nidus Mary Sosom, this, that we should consider them Tomei on the day they're born in case they had a discharge. So the question is, Bishlema de Rabbi Yossi or de Rebbe Mishum Truma Seret Yisrael, I can understand in Rabbi Yossi's and Rebbe's cases, in Ein Bolin and Beis Sharim, those are places in Eretz Yisrael. So there you have Truma of Eretz Yisrael, where if the girl touches it and she's Tomei, then she will make the Truma possible. Ella did Rabbi Yosef, Lomali, but in Rabbi Yosef's case, which took place in Pobedissa, which is Bavel, why do they need to bother totaling this baby girl? Truma of Chutzlaris, because it's only Drabbanan, therefore it's only author to somebody who Truma comes out from their own body. So fine, Truma came out of her own body. She won't be able to eat Truma, fine, but there's plenty of colon that they could, as a week old baby, she's not going to be eating Truma anyway, because she's only nursing from her mother. So what are we worried about? So what are we worried about her possibly touching Truma of Chutzlaris? The answer is Vahani Mili Ba'achila, and even that is only that the Truma is also for her to eat. It's not also for her to touch. It's Truma Chutzlaris. So what's the, so why do they need to tovel this baby? So Mazutra says yes, but what it was needed for is in order to be able to smear her with oil of Truma. Remember, in those days, it was a much more common thing. Nowadays, you put baby lotion on or whatever. In those times, what served instead of baby lotion, instead of soap, instead of a lot of different purposes, was people would smear oil on their skin. So it was a normal part of a person's body care. You take care of a baby, part of it is you smear them with oil. And they wanted to be able to use oil of truma. And therefore, in order to do that, they had to toil her.
It was common to use oil of truma?
Well, it was common to use oil in general, and if you're a Kohen, then you're going to use oil of truma, yeah. Just like you're allowed to eat oil of truma, or use it in salad dressing or whatever, you're also allowed to use it for smearing on your skin.
Truma the Kohenim has, they have to get the fat, they get regular, they have to buy.
Yeah.
Save money.
So like this, yeah. So at the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, what makes us say that she should have to be tahor in order to be smeared in oil of truma, with oil of truma. So like this, we learn in a braisa when the pasuk says v'lo yichalu es kodshe bnei Yisrael asher yirimu l'Hashem. The pasuk says that the kohenim should not desecrate the holy things of bnei Yisrael, which they will lift up to Hashem. That refers to truma. L'rabo it says hafsoch. So therefore, that pasuk saying v'lo yichalu also comes to include that with the previous sukkah we're talking about. A Kohen is Tomei, is not allowed to eat Truma. So here it's also saying they're also not allowed to desecrate it by smearing it on their skin.
Why would we suspect them when they're very zvid?
That's fine. The Torah has to tell us. The Torah has to tell the Kohenim, you should know. You're not allowed to eat or use Truma while you're Tomei, and if you do, you're desecrating the Truma. So the Torah has to tell you. So therefore, L'rabas is a soch, that's a shoysa. So therefore, it comes to include somebody, before the previous sukkim talk about somebody, a Kohen who ate Truma when he's Tomei. And now, this process, okay. Yichalu, extends it also to drinking and smearing. So the question is, what do you mean? What do I need a process to tell us that you're not allowed to drink truma, like wine of truma, when you're tummy? Yeah, if you're not allowed to eat it, automatically you're not allowed to drink it. In many places in Torah, we say that drinking is included in eating. Same way as, for example, on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to drink. Person makes a shavua, I'm not going to eat, he's also automatically not allowed to drink, etc.
Oh, yeah.
El, yeah. Ella, no, so we have to say, fine, the pasuk is not coming to include drinking, because you're right, there's no particular thing that we would, there's no particular reason that we need to be married drinking separately. But Ella Lerabis Vassoch Kisha, what the Braisa means is not to include somebody who drinks or somebody who smears, to include somebody who smears oil on his skin that is considered like he drank it. So we learn that from this pasuk below Yechal. So we see from that, to smear oil of Truma on your skin, you have to be Tahar. And therefore, since this girl was Tomei from having to as we're saying, because otherwise the pasuk is unnecessary. Once the pasuk has been changed, telling us in previous Sukkim that Koyanim are not allowed to teach Truma when they're Tomei, what is this pasuk adding? Well, I mean, there's other things we learn from this pasuk also. Asher Yerimul Hashem refers to eating tevel, but fine. The point is, the Veloy Yechalu means that they're not allowed to desecrate it by using it for smearing when they're tamei. The Iboy Yisema Mehacha. Another possibility is you can learn that pasuk from the following, that din from the following pasuk in Tehillim. You have a pasuk in Tehillim that says if, they're talking about the klala, that David HaMelech curses a certain rasha, that it came like water to his insides and like oil into his bones. So we see that there's a comparison between water that goes into the insides of a person and oil that's smeared on their skin and then penetrates through the skin. So therefore, so we see that also that sicha is like shtia. So the question is, okay, so that's that. So that tells us, in other words, that therefore, so there is this miut de shriach. It's this not totally common, but common enough case where baby girls have a discharge and become tamei nida, and we have to total them. So therefore, now we can apply it. Now Reb Meir, who's choshesh for miut, can say, therefore, I'm going to apply that to the kusim, and say, therefore, that the same miut could apply to the kusim, and therefore, we're going to consider all of them tamei mitzvah. The Rabbanon would say on a Daraisa level not, because we don't care about miyut. On a Rabbanon level, fine, it's one of the Yurchet Dover, because the Chacham didn't want us to be socializing with and interacting with the Kusim too much. Okay, so the question is, I hochi didan nami. In that case, if we're going to say all of that, then shouldn't, if we're choshish for miyut, then the same thing should apply to our Jewish girls as well. The pashtos, as you said before, not always are they going to know if their girl had a discharge at a young age. So therefore, so we should consider all girls are tamei misafik at a young age. Why are we only applying that to the kusim? The reason is, ananda darshinan isha v'isha. The reason is because we loyal Jews, we listen to the Chachamim, who know to Darshan that when the pasuk says Isha v'Isha, the pasuk starts off v'Isha kisiya zava, which is introducing the concept that a woman can become nigger, and it doesn't just say Isha kisiya, it says kisiya zava, it says v'Isha. So therefore, the vav teaches us, and it teaches us that it applies not only to an adult woman, but also to a baby. Therefore, b'chichazion mafushilahu. Yeah, but that's the point. The Vav adds that it's not just an adult Isha, but an Isha, a female of any age.
At a young age?
Well, the same way as the word. Well, okay, but sorry, that's what we're saying. If it only said Isha over here, we would say it's only an adult woman. But since it says Isha, the Vav adds something. Yeah. I was going to say the same way, for example, if we say that a shur is called a shur on the day it's born, even though you usually think of a shur as being an adult ox. So therefore, so v'chichazion mafushilahu. So if a girl, if a regular Jewish girl does have a discharge at that young age, they know to set her aside. They know to consider her tamei until she goes to the mikveh. Therefore, like gozru b'hor abanan, therefore the chum did not have to make a zera. On the other hand, inhu, with the kusim, the ledaushi isha v'isha, they b'chlal in general don't hold a Torah Shabbat pair, so they don't hold that the vav of the isha means anything special. As far as they're concerned, the whole concept of nida and zava only applies to an adult woman. So therefore, so even if their girls have a discharge, they don't set them aside, they don't assume that they're tamei. Therefore, gozru b'hu rabbanan, therefore the rabbanan made a zera and considered them all tamei. Okay, my isha v'isha. What do we mean about this? What's this drasha of isha v'isha that we're talking about? Tanya, we learn in a brisa. The pasuk says isha. The pasuk again starts saying v'isha kisiya zava. So if it only said isha, emi ala isha, you would only know that it applies to an adult woman. Kinoikas bas yom echad l'nidah minayin. How do we know that even a day old? And when you say day old, I mean on the day she was born. So even a girl on the day she was born is able to become Tamini. I mean, Nayin, how do we know that? Talmud Lama Ve'isha. So there we learn that from the Vav of Ve'isha. Okay. So the Gemara says Alma. So the proof, so we're saying, we're proving from that then, we're saying Ki Mar Bikra, when the Pasuk is including, when you have the word Ve'isha, and then we're learning something from the extra Vav, we're saying that it goes all the way down to a baby born on that day. The problem with that is Uramin. We have a contradiction. Another Braisa says, you have
it,
Marbi Kro, the Pasuk is Marbi. So Marbi, the Pasuk is Marbi, that even a girl on the day she's born is able to become Nidya. That's what we just said. We're saying that the Vav of Isha is telling us not just when she's an adult, but even when she's on the day she was born, she can become Tamid. The problem with that is, or Minu, we have a contradiction. A different Braisa says that when the Pasuk talks about, The pasuk talks about a woman who a man has relations with, that she becomes tummy. The isha she yishkav isha is the shich vazeres in the same parasha, and parashas but sorry, a few spoken earlier. But there it also says the isha, and the braisa says if it said isha in the other isha, if it only said isha she yishkav, then it would mean only an adult woman. How do we know that even if the girl is only three years old, that bia with her has significance and is metameh her? Less than that, it's not matame. A person of any age touches shechvat zera, they become tame. However, that's only if they touch it with the outside of their body. If they touch it, in general, if you touch a source of tumah with the inside of your body, we learned about this in Cholin, it's called tumah beis astarim. It's called tumah beis astarim, tumah blue or whatever. In general, it's not matame a person. So over here, why is it that when a woman has relations, why is it that she becomes tame? The shechvat zera is only touching her inside. There is a custom that she becomes tame nonetheless. So the Brian says, telling us, because the pasuk says Ve'isha, it means even if she's only 3 years old, nevertheless, it still has the same din and it's metame her, but because of the Zeres HaKosu. As opposed to if she was younger, then that would be metame her, only if it actually touched her outside.
Rivka was 3 years old.
That's new. Okay, fine. So therefore, that's the point. Once Yitzchak had the first time Yitzchak had relations with her, then she was tame from Bia, yeah. Okay, so the point is,
did not happen, she would, a three-year-old would still be coming with relations.
Well, that's what we're saying. The first time she has relations, right. Yeah, it starts from three.
We didn't need the Rivka.
Right, you're the one who brought up Rivka, yeah. No, we're learning it from Ve'isha. So therefore, how do we know a girl 3 years old that they have bia? Minayin, how do we know she also becomes tame from the bia? Talmud Lama Ve'isha, therefore the pasuk says the Vav. So here we see that the Vav is only extending it back to 3 years old. Why is it with Ve'isha, to see a Zava, we're extending it all the way back to when she was born? Amar Rava. One is Rava, but what's the difference?
It comes out and
then it doesn't matter. Why should that matter? Amar Rava. So Rava says, Hilchos Dininu. The bottom line is both these dinim are halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Va'as mechinu, Rabbanan akroi. Hilchos means halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So both of these dinim are halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Va'as mechinu, Rabbanan akroi. So the Chachamim found Sukkim to make them, to support them, to fit them. Which is above, right. So therefore, in each case, it's not so much that the Vav is teaching us something, it's the Vav is hinting to the halacha l'moshe m'sinai that's attached to that mitzvah, that's attached to that din. In the case of Bia, three, and in the case of Nida, it's on the day she was born. So the question is, hey Krav, hey Hilchasa. So what does that mean? In other words, after all, the pasuk does imply one or the other. You have a Vav. It means either you're extending it back to when she was born, or you're extending it back to when she was three. So which one is, does the pasuk actually mean, and which one is purely halacha l'moshe m'sinai? Ilema bas yom echad hilchasa, bas shalosh shanim yom echad kra. Are you going to say that this, that we extend it back all the way, in the case of Nida, all the way back to when she was born, we're going to say that's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and that bas shalosh shanim yom echad, when it comes to bia, we learn from the Vav. What do you mean kra stomach, Steve? The pasuk just says generically, the Vav is being marbe, so it should be marbe any age. Why episode do you think that it should apply only from 3 years old and on?
It both can be a halacha and Vav is just
Well, but the Gemara is assuming that the Gemara is saying like this. So Rashi says, "Kloima mechti kro chodeminayim mishtama." After all, the Vav has to imply one or the other. Fine, the Vav tells us extend it back some degree. Which one? Does it mean Dobkin
was
here?
Well,
If we assume that Vav basically means to go back till 3 years, and then Halacha L'Moshe Mishnei tells us, but in the case of Nida, go back even further than that, why would we assume that the Vav only includes back to 3 years old? Once we're saying the Vav is Ma'aveh, it should be Ma'aveh everything. It should be Ma'aveh any age. So therefore, no, we have to say the other way around. This that we're saying when it comes to Bia, when it comes to the Tumah of Bia, that it applies only from 3, that's the Halacha L'Moshe Mishnei. The Vav, meaning that it should extend back as far as possible, that it extends back even to when she was born, that's Kra, that's the simple meaning of the pasuk. In other words, so it is true, both of them are Halacha L'Moshe Mishnei, but the fact that a girl can become Nida on the day she was born, that can more clearly be seen from the pasuk from the word Ve'isha. As opposed to, in the case of Bia, we might have thought the same thing, that it extends all the way back to the day she was born, and Halacha L'Moshe Mishnei tells us, no, it only goes back to when she's 3. So the question is, Ma'acha V'Hilchasa, Kura L'Amali, okay, if Bia was 3 years old, is Halacha L'Moshe Mishnei, and you anyway can't learn it from the Pasuk, then why do you even have the Vav? What is the Vav accomplishing at all? Let the Torah say, V'Isha by a Nida, let it just say, Isha by the Tuma of Bia, and it doesn't matter, because anyway, we're not learning from that Vav. So, yeah. Yeah, the answer is that Vav is actually teaching us something else. L'ma'uti Ishme Oidem. That pasuk is teaching you that a man does not become tamei from a red discharge. Now, this is an example. Rashi doesn't use the exact words, but basically this is an example of im eina inin lozeh, sneu inin lozeh. The pasuk is talking about the tumma of bia. But after all, you have an extra vavur there. We have it available for a drasha. So therefore, since we can't darshan it to say that it teaches us to extend backwards in the case of a girl, because anyway, we're saying that's halacha L'Moshe Mishnei, to go back only to 3. So therefore, instead we're applying it to a man. We're saying a woman can be tomei with a red discharge, because that's described by her, v'isha kisi azava, dom yi azava, but a man not. Forget about azava a second. Here we're talking about nidah. A man can be a zog, sure, but that's a different discharge. But not with a red discharge, right? So that comes to teach us a man does not become tamei with a red discharge. So the question is, v'hod tanya, what about now? We have another pasuk that also begins with isha, and we also have a drasha from that. We learn in a braisa when the pasuk in Parashas Metzora, the pasuk describes the nida, and then a few pesukim later it starts describing the zava, the isha ki yazuv zov dama yomim rabim. So there it also begins the isha, and we learn a braisa. If it said isha ein liela isha, if it only said isha, you'd only know that an adult woman can become a zava. Bas yud yomim luziva minayin. How do we know that even when she's only 10 days old, she can already become a zava? Why 10 days old? The reason is because what does a woman need in order to be a zava dola? That is, she needs to have bleeding for 3 days in succession. Those 3 days in succession have to be sometime after the 7 days of nidah. So therefore, it has to be, if she had bleeding on the first day that she was born, then that starts the nida clock. On the 7th day of her life, she now could be tovel from the mikveh, like we said before, that she was one time tovel before her mother. Then after that, now begins her 11 days of ziva. If she were to have discharges on the 8th and 9th and 10th days of her life, if she were now to have discharges on the 8th, 9th, and 10th days of her life, she would be a zava gdola. She would need 7 clean days before she can go to the mikvah. So we're learning that from the word vit. We're learning that from the vav. That's why the minimum that she can be a zava is when she's 10 days old. Because you need 7 days of nida, and then after that, you need 3, and then after that, you need 3 days of succession of bleeding to make her a zava gdola. So the question is lomali, why do I need the vav over there? Lidmami nida. If we just said before that the vav of the isha kisiya zava, we're learning from that a girl of any age can become a nida, then we should be able to learn automatically from that kiziva. Because once she can become a nida at 0 days old, automatically we know that she can become a zava at 10 days old. So we don't need a separate vav for it. So what do we need the vav for?
It would work for
Nasmachta. Not Nasmachta. The same way as we said, the Vav means extend it back as far as possible, all the way to when she was born, automatically. Then we know, okay, 7 days of Nidah are followed by 11 days of Ziva, and therefore if she has bleeding during three or more of those days, and she becomes a zava. So we know that automatically. What do we need another? What do we need another vav in the pasuk for that?
Starting from the
10th day, basically. Yeah. So the answer is, what do we need? Nida. We should be able to learn from Nida. Once we know she can be a Nida at a very young age, then automatically we know she can be a Zava at a very young age. What do we need an extra Vav for? The answer is, we still need that Vav. If the Torah had only written the Vav by the Nida, have Amina, you would say, you know why she can become Tome at such a young age? Nida, Mishum Deki Chazoi Chad Yoima, Boyal Meis of Zayin. Because after all, what happens with the Nida, no matter how much or how little bleeding there was, whether it was one day, whether it was 7 days in succession, yet we say that she's Tome for the same 7 days. So therefore, in other words, so we can say there's a chumrah there. There's a chumrah of a nida that no matter how little or how much bleeding there was, as long as it stopped sometime before the end of the seventh day, then she can go to the mikvah on the seventh day. But what that means is, the contrary, though, is if there was only 1 day of bleeding, she's still coming for the next 6 days, even though nothing's happened. So therefore, there's a chumrah in nida. Avol zava. But when it comes to a zava, de'ichazoi chad yoima, after all, if she only has a discharge for 1 day, she's not a zava gzela, shemeres yom kineged yom sagula, then it's enough for her to have 1 day, it's enough for her to have one toher day, and then she can go to the mikveh. Eimaloi, so you would think maybe then in that case, so you have a kula when it comes to ziva. Therefore, maybe we should also apply a kula and say that it only starts applying to a girl when she's much older, maybe only when she hits puberty.
The kula of the fact that
you sometimes have 1 day only for a zava.
So then apply later, not from
exactly.
1 day
old. Well, 10 days old, but yeah. So therefore, it's tzricha, so therefore we need the vav by zava. So then the question is the other way around. V'lichtev rachmana b'zava v'loy boya b'nida. In that case, do the other way around. Let it say the vav by zava. Let it not say the vav by nida. And then v'ano yadayna de'en zava v'loy nida. Automatically, we would know then all the dinim because we would automatically realize, okay, vav tells us go back as far, zava goes back as far as possible. But practically speaking, we know she can't be a zava without having had yamei nida before that. So therefore, automatically, that means the earliest that she could be a Zava is 10 days old. And automatically, therefore, we would realize that presupposes that she could have been a Nida on the day she was born. Because otherwise, it shouldn't have had to say anything for Nida. It could say just by Ziva, we would deduce Nida from it. The answer is, Enochanami. You're right, actually, the Torah could have done that. The Torah could have only written the Vav by Zava, and we would have understood already by from Nida. So the El Akra Lomali, so then after all, what do we need the Vav by Nida for? If we're not, we have it in all three places. We have it by Tumas, we have it by Tumah of Bia, we have it by Nida, we have it by Zava. So okay, the one by Bia we said is true that a man doesn't become Tomei with a red discharge. But now we have left, okay, the one of Zava we said we need, but the one of Nida on the face of it we don't need. So what are we doing with it? The answer is to tell us that a man doesn't become Tomei from a red discharge. What do you mean? We already had that. Yeah, we already had it. Top of the Amud. We were learning that from the Vav by Nida. The answer is we need both of them. Both of them are mute. One is telling us, suppose the man has a discharge of Shichvas Zera, which is red. Now, we know a man becomes Tomei with a discharge of Shichvas Zera. But suppose that Shichvas Zera happens to be red. You would think maybe he becomes Tomei, because after all, it's Shichvas Zera. So therefore, you need one to tell us that, V'chadlam or Timidam, and another one to tell us that he doesn't become Tomei if blood comes out. No, because you wouldn't know. Because you would think maybe you would say he's Tomei from Shichvas Zera. So therefore, you would think any color shouldn't matter the color. So therefore, no. Now one mute tells us that it has to adapt to be the normal color of Shichvas Zera, not red. And the other one tells us Bechlal, if it's not Shichvas Zera at all, don't think that we're going to learn from a woman that a woman becomes Tomei with blood, and therefore he should be. No, we're not. Okay. So therefore we need both mute. Then the Gemara says, V'chein le'inyin schorim. Now, we have a similar concept when it comes to boys. You have a similar concept when it comes to boys and men that you have similar limudim. The Tanya, we learn in a braisa. Ish matam adloim. Now, the pasuk starts off in Parashas Masorah when it introduces the concept of a man being a zav. It starts off, ish ki yiz zav. So why does it say ishish? Matam alema ishish. L'rabbis tinnik ben yemechad shumatam b'ziva divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That teaches us that even a boy, that a boy, even on the day he's born, is able to become Tomei from Ziva. Now, by the way, when it comes to Shechvat Zera, not necessarily, because he has to be old enough to actually be producing Shechvat Zera, to actually be that his body should normally produce it, only then does he become Tomei. Generally speaking, yeah, that's 9 years old, like you were saying before, that only from 9 years old is a Bia considered Bia. There are actually other places where it seems to imply that maybe a boy can become Tomei from Shechvat Zera at a younger age. One explanation is that normally they only start producing at 9, but if he starts producing younger, then fine, but still, not on the day he's born. So, but on the other hand, Ziva is not quite the same as Shechvat Zera. It's off-white, it comes without being erect, etc. It's a whole different kind of thing. It comes from some kind of sickness. So the words, ish teach us that a man can also become, that a boy, can a baby boy, can also become Tomei as a Zav on the day he's born. Divir of Yehuda. Rabbi Shmuel ben Yosher Rabbi Yechon ben Brekha, me'ein sarich. Rabbi Shmuel ben Yosher Rabbi Yechon ben Brekha says you don't need the word ish to teach you that. Harehu oimer lazocher v'lanakeva. At the end of Parashas Metzora, it summarizes these are the dinim zoyt teret hazav asher chetim menu etc. And it finishes off lazocher v'lanakeva means lazocher kol shu zocher. A man a zocher can become tomei with his tuma of zav at any no, but it's a zocher, right? So kol shu whatever age kol shu zocher whatever age he is. Dentro, Godo, Mentro, Cotton, whether he's an adult or a child. Well, in the cave, of course, he's been in the cave, and a girl, as long as she's a girl, then girl, then kind of. Ian Kane, so he says, okay, so then we said before, that's a sophist. We said that if they have a red discharge or a white discharge, then it's only a trauma, we sophist. We said that maybe if they have, we said if they have both of them, then fine, it's a trauma bada, you burn trauma, but we said if they go into the Beth Mikdash, they're still not high of a carbon. We have the whole sugi over there, because we learn Mizachra and Mikava, we have a special mute over there. Okay. Fine. So if im kain, so if so, Rabbi Shmuel says matam adam ish, then what is the pasuk teaching us with the word ish? Is it nothing? Dibur Torah, Kolosh Mnei Adam. The Torah sometimes uses common language, commonly in Lashon Kodesh in those days, to say every man, you would say ish, same way as many things in the Torah that you have when it's each of this, if it uses the same word twice. Yeah, it's another way of saying it. It's a common way of saying something. So therefore, okay. So what do we see? So again, alma ki marbikra. So what do we see? The Torah is being marba with the word ish, according to Rabbi Yehuda. That it's being marba a baby even on the day he's born. When the pasuk is being marba with the extra word ish, it means ben yom echad marbi, it's including even a boy on the day he was born. Uraminu. But again, we have a contradiction where we have another source that seems to say that it only begins at a later age. For ish, when the pasuk says, again, when we had the pasuk before, ish ki seitu menu shichvas zera, a man who has Shechvat Zera comes out of him, he becomes Tomei. So Ein li ela ish, you would only know that it applies to a mature man. Then Teisha Shonim Yemecha Minayin, how do we know it also applies to a boy who's 9 years old? Tamad Lama Vitish, therefore the pasuk is Vitish Kiseitim Menu. So they were being Marba only until 9 years old. So we have the same question as we had before with the girls. Why is it one pasuk we're saying all the way back to when she's born, and a different one only back to when she's three? We have the same question over here. We're also saying a Zav back to when he's born, and Shechvat Zera only when he's nine. What's the logic? And again, Omar Rava. So Rava says the same answer as before. Hilchasininu. These are halachos for Moshe Mitzinai. V'as mechiner abon akroy. The Chachamim found appropriate psukim to hang the halachos for Moshe Mitzinai on. But basically, whether the pasuk over here is not the source of the limit. So again, the question is, hey, Hilchos of a Hekra. Okay, again, we have to ask, like we did before, which one more clearly is implied in the Pasuk? Ilema ben yom echad Hilchos of ben teshanim yom echad kra. Are you going to say the Pasuk is basically only including from 9 years old? The Halacha, the Moshe Mitzinai, tells us that when it comes to Zav, don't just extend it back to 9 years old, extend it all the way back to when he's born. Same problem. So we would say that basically the Pasuk, when the Pasuk is being Marba, it's only Marba up to 9 years old. Right. So the problem with that is, like we said before, how could that be? Cross stomach Steve. After all, the pasuk just says generically. It says a vav, or it says an extra word ish. So there's nothing in the pasuk that specifically refers to 9 years old. So what would make us think that should only go to there? So no, it must be the other way around. Ella, then test shanim yem echad hilchasa, the other way around. This, that you have a concept that of trumas shechvat zera from when a boy is 9 years old, that's halacha l'mishim yisina. Or ben yom echad kra, this that a boy can become a zav when he's born, that we're learning more distinctly from the pasuk. In other words, again, the same as before. The riboy in the pasuk would tell us all the way back to when he's born. Halacha l'mishim yisina tells us, however, when it comes to shechvat zera, don't go back that far, only go back to when he's 9. Well, how do you read this? It's halacha l'mishum Sinai that a 9-year-old is able to be, the youngest that can become Tameh with Shikha Zera. Or ben yom echad kra, this, that a boy can become a Zav when he's born, that's more clearly in the Pasuk. So the question is, as we asked before, ultimately, if it's halacha l'mishum Sinai, then what do we need the Pasuk for at all? The answer is, l'mo'uti isham u'loiven. The answer is to teach us that a woman does not become tamei from a white discharge. Before we said a man doesn't become tamei from a red discharge. Now we're saying the other way around. Suppose that a woman has a white discharge. Now you would argue like this. It is true that we learned back in the second parak, Tosfos points out, we did learn before that there's only 4 or 5 colors that are metamei her. So why, and white is not among them. So what would make us think that a white discharge is metamei? Still, Tosfos says we might have thought a kavachomer. A man is not metamei ba'odrem, but he's metamei ba'loiven. So how much more so maybe a woman should be tamei with a white discharge?
White is clear.
Exactly. So a man becomes tummy with it, a woman doesn't. Now what it is a woman does become tummy from being poilet shechva zera. We talked about this the other day. If a woman has had relations and then shechva zera leaks out sometime during the next 3 days, then it's metame her. But that's metame her because her body is touching the shechva zera. That's like we said before. That
how do we know if it's the same color?
Well, I guess it would have different. No, but the point is when we're talking about over here, loiven would be white blood. In other words, if she were to have a discharge of something that has a blood-like consistency but is white, it's not metamor.
It's white blood.
Yeah, not normally, but there's not normally such a thing as green blood either when we learned about that, or not green but yellow, whatever, when we learned about that before also. So, yeah. We did actually. There is a point actually we talked about briefly when we were talking about the colors towards the end of the second paragraph. We did talk about briefly. The Bach talks about sometimes you have a woman bathes and then shortly after that, if she has a discharge, it may look whitish even though it is real blood because it gets bleached out by the water she bathes in. So he wants to say she'd be tummy anyway. The Taz disagrees with that anyway. Whatever. But
they didn't have chlorine in the Bach.
Whatever. The point is though that they didn't have chlorine in the Bach times either.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh,
so.
In
the Bach times was in the 1600s. I don't know. Just the water itself, or whatever, the soap, the soap that they use. I don't know, whatever.
We said that for the woman, it's 5 colors, and white is not one of them.
That's the point. But if it weren't for this positive, we would still think, as Tosfos says, we would still make a kavachomer. Okay, Tosfos says a kavachomer. Because you could think that maybe you have the pasuk Dameha teaches us 4, and then you have an addition, a Kavachomer teaches us another one.
I think Kavachomer is if a man's coming for sure.
If a man is coming from white, for sure a woman should be coming from white.
No, but
once that, we need a pasuk therefore to tell us
but
that.
We said it's just 5 colors for a woman.
But first of all, we had over there Bishamai and Akavya ben Mahalala. We said that maybe they don't hold of that Dirasha Dameha. But besides that, we said also maybe they hold of it, but they say in addition, you also have, just like we said, we add Shachar because Mishnei Shalaka. Because black is fine, but nevertheless, we still, because we said that black, how does black blood come? Because it was originally red blood, and then it deteriorated and became black. So the same thing over here. We could have said, we learned Dameha teaches us what there are 4, and in addition, a Kabbalah would teach us what also white. But so therefore, then we need the Pasuk to tell us that. Okay. So the question is, okay, so that's that then. So really what it is in other words, like this. So with a woman, we're saying like this. There's 3 times where it says V'isha. By Nida, by Zava, and by Tumas Bia. By Tumas Bia, we don't need the Vav, because it's Allah from Meshmi Sinai that she becomes Tommy from 3 years old. So there we use the Vav to teach us that a man doesn't become Tommy from Oregon. We have it by Zava, and from there we learn that a girl can become a Zava even at 10 days old, as early as possible for her to become a Zava, because it can't be earlier than 10 days.
Oidem
means red discharge. Oh, yeah. And then we have the Zava. So we're saying that teaches us that she can actually become Tomei as early in life as it's possible to become a Zava, namely 10 days old. And then we have the Vav by Nida, where we said that also tells us another miut by a man, that not only if it's red blood, but also if it's red shikhazet. Then by a man, we have 1 time where it says ish, and 1 time where it says a Vav, ve'ish, namely by Zav and by Shikhazera. So both of them, again, it's halacha l'mishum Sinai, what the respective ages are. One is that it's all the way from when he's born, and one is from when he's 9 years old. So one of them, so we have 2 halacha l'mishum Sinai. We also have 2 halacha l'mishum Sinai by a woman.
For a man,
you have 2 halacha l'mishum Sinai. One that he's a zav when he's old, so what we have is like this. So one of those ribuyim. One of those Ribuyim teaches us that one of those Ribuyim teaches us that a woman does not become Tomei from Loiven, from a white discharge. One of them, the Gemara hasn't specified. Tosfos actually seems to learn that it's from the Vav. So that's from the Vav. So therefore, the Ish. So therefore, again, the Ish is teaching us that a boy can become Tomei from Ziva as early as possible. And the other one, the Ish teaches us that a woman does not become Tomei by Loiven. So the question is, Lomali
Lemichya. The Ish is.
Well, that's the point. Tosfos said, the Ish, he says to the Menashech Bazer. It's in Mesorah. All of these tokens that we're dealing with here are in Mesorah. Tosfos points out, usually a Vav is Marve. Here we're using it to be Mamai.
Yeah.
So that's based on what Rashi says at the top of the Omud. Given that, we don't need to be Marve anything, so therefore we have to say that we're using the letter for another direction. Okay, so now the question is, Lomali Lemichya Bizchorim, but Lomali Lemichya Binakavis. Why do we need to write ish to say that a boy can become a zov when he's on the day he's born? And why does it need to say the isha to tell us that a girl can become nida on the day she's born?
What's the question?
Why do we need it by both? Once we have it by one gender, we should be able to apply it automatically by the other. Well, the answer is tzichi. We can say that we need both of them because each one has a feature of their tumah that doesn't apply to the other one. The e kos rachmana bizchorim, because if the Torah only mentioned this concept by boys, you would say the reason why you would say you know why the Torah is machmir that a boy even on the day he's born can become a zav mishum demetamu b'reis kibayom, because men have a feature of their ziva over women, namely that they can be metame by a number of zivas by a number of reis of ziva on the same day as if they were on different days, namely like this. If a woman has discharges, let's say during the 11 days of Ziva, if she has a bunch of discharges on the same day, it doesn't matter. She's still just a Shemeret Yom Kenegadim. Only if she has them 3 days in succession, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, then she needs Shiva Nakim. Then she's a Zavag Dola. A man is not like that. A man can have 3 discharges on one day. He could even have actually one long discharge, which is considered in Halacha long enough to be the equivalent of 3, and presto, he becomes a Zav Baal Shalosh Riyah, so he needs to bring a carbon, yeah. So therefore, so a man has that Chumrah. Avon the Kavis Dolim Tamu B'Re'ias to be Yomim. Women don't have that Chumrah. They need their ears to be on separate days in order for them to become Zav, and to become a Zavah. Eim Aloy. So maybe therefore we should be Mako also and say they don't become Tomei from Nidah or Zavah at a very young age. The E Kosi Rachmona B'Ne Kavis. On the other hand, if the Torah wrote...
That's why we have to say it
by women. By the Kavis. Because we couldn't learn from Schorim to Nakavis, because we could say Schorim have a Chumrah over Nakavis. The E Kosi Rachmanim and Nakavis. On the other hand, if the Torah wrote this concept only by Nakavis, you would say, you know why? Well, Machmer on them, we say they can become Tomei, Nidah, and Zava at such a young age, because there's a Chumrah on them that a man doesn't have. We shouldn't become a Tamu Ba'onis. Because a woman can become Tomei from Ziva, even if it was by Oinus. So a man cannot Ziva. Yes. So in other words, we talked about back in the first paragraph. We're going to talk about later on. No. Forget about fourth and tariff. That's just what's there. That's something else. We're talking about Ziva. Well, a woman, when she becomes a Zava, it doesn't matter, or for that matter, when she becomes a Nidya, we talked about in the first paragraph. Let's say, for example, she jumps or does some other strenuous physical activity, and afterwards she bleeds. Doesn't matter. She's still Tomei, Nidya, or Zava, as the case may be. Doesn't matter what the cause of it was. As opposed to a man, a Zav, the rule is the second Re'iyah, which is the one that makes him a Zav, because the first one is just considered like a Baal Keri, the second one, it cannot be Ba'onis. If it is, then it doesn't make him a Zav. So you have a Mishnah in Zavim that actually says, V'shiva drachim bodkin as a Zav. When the guy has had a second discharge, and we need to figure out whether he's Tomei as a Zav, we have to check out 7 possible things that might have triggered the Ziva. For example, he overate. He overate or overdrank. He did hard physical exercise. He had hirurim, for example. He saw animals mating or whatever, and that caused them to have thoughts of nus or whatever. Any 7 different things they have to check out. So.
And if you don't have them, it cannot be.
So if he had one, of them, then it's an oinus.
If he had
none of them, then he's a zav. Then he's a zav. Now, right. So therefore, Abel Karim Zolei Metamu Ba'Oinus, men don't become Tomei from Ziva from Oinus, so that's a Kula on them compared to women. Amalo, you would think maybe therefore we should also be Mekel, and a boy right after he's born cannot become a Zav. Tzricha, and therefore it needs to be said by boys as well. We said in the Mishnah, we said, okay, so now we finished talking about the Benois Kusim, now let's start talking about the male Kusim. We said Hakusim Mitamin Mishkav Tachton Ke'elyon. We said the Kusim are Mitamin Mishkav Tachton Ke'elyon because the Mishnah had said because they're boiling Nidus. So what does that mean? What does it mean, my Mishkav Tachton Ke'elyon? What does that phrase mean? Elema, does it mean like this? Tachton means, does it mean Tachton Ke'elyon? That we assume, we start by assuming that Tachton Ke'elyon means that Elema, does it mean? Ika Yud Masoi, suppose you have 10 mattresses, one on top of the other. The Yosef Alai, who suppose that this Boil Nida sits on them, Metamolahu, you're going to say all of them become Tomei. Chicken, obviously they'll become Tomei. The Hodarachu, he put his weight on all of them. He made them all Tumas Midras. So yeah, it does. Tumas Midras doesn't require direct bodily contact. Yeah, you sit on one thing which is on top of another thing which is on top of another thing, etc. And Tumas Midras, all of them become Tomei. So there's no chiddush in that. Ella, no. What the Mishnah means is Shehei Tachtonei Shal Boyom Nida Ke'olyonei Shal Zav. It means that the rule is like this. In general, with a boil nida, and we're saying that we're applying it, the suffix, to these kusim because of the possibility that they're wives and nidas. So we're saying that we say that the tachtone shall boil, the mattress or blanket or whatever underneath a boil nida has the same din ke'oyone shall zub, has the same din as something that's overhanging a zub. Now, we learned in the first perek, we talked about something called tumas madaf, which is where we say that a zob is, for example, sitting down, and you have something hanging over him, like an umbrella, let's say. We say that the umbrella becomes tomei. It's called tumas madaf. The Rambam explains madaf. It's not really tumas oil. Well, sort of. So the Rambam explains that madaf is malosha noides, like a smell or something that wafts upward. So the same way, like anything that's directly above him becomes Tomei. I guess in a way, I guess you could think of it as like Tumas Oil. It's not exactly the same thing, but it's a similar sort of idea, I guess. Most of the Rishonim learn that concept is only Midrabanan, but whatever it is, it becomes Tomei, but it's not an Ava Tuma. Now the bench or the chair or the bed or whatever that a Zav sits on becomes an Ava Tuma. Anybody else sits on it, they become Tomei. The El Yone Shel Zav, the Madaf over here, somebody else touches that umbrella, they don't become Tomei. Only if food touches it, it becomes Tomei. So what we're saying is, tachtonish or boil nida, the bed or what have you, that a boil nida lies on, has the same din tel yonish ol zav. It has the same degree of tumah as something above a zav. Ma el yonish ol zav, eni matame el uchlun amashkin. What's above a zav, is nada, is not an avatumah, it's only a rishon matumah. So it's only matame food and kalim, as in food and drink. The same way, the chair or whatever below a boil nida also only is matame urchon umashkin. It's only matame food and drink. In other words, it's only a rishon latruma. Okay. So the Gemara says
it is
a rishon latruma, but that's it. Right. It's not an avatruma. So we have to learn. Where do we learn these dinim from? El yone shel zav minolan. First of all, where do we know that something that's above a zav becomes tomei? So like just give. You have a pasuk that says, "V'chol hanegeya v'chol asheyia tachtov yitma." You have a pasuk like this. It says, "Anybody who touches anything that is under him, or asheyia tachtov, that he will be under him." So the yia and the tachtov. The question is, who is under who? Are we talking about something that is under the zav, or are we talking about something that the zav is under it? Yeah, well, yia tachtov, right? It can mean yia to mean that this thing is tachtov under him, the zav, or it can mean the other way around, kol asher yia, anything that he, the zav, will be tachtov under it. So which one does it mean? My tachtov. Well, that's the way I have to figure out. Elema tachtov de zav, do we mean anything that's under a zav, anything that a zav sits or lies or whatever on? We don't need a pasuk for that. We have a pasuk that says anybody who touches the zav's bed becomes tamei. And from that we learn Tumas Midras. Ella hanegeya b'chol sheyia zav tachtov. So it means anybody who touches the thing under which the zav is under it. Umay nihu elyon shel zav. So what does that mean? Something that's overhanging a zav. So something that's overhanging the zav. With that said, though, even though on the face of it we're learning from a pasuk over here, like I said before, most of the shoyim learn that it's actually only midrabanan and this is only an asmachta.
The thing above.
The thing above, right? Okay.
So we learn it from
B'chol Asher Yia Tachtov. Anything that he, the Zav, will be underneath it. such as an umbrella. Yeah. Now, you have the line over here is in parenthesis because Rashi says that it doesn't belong over here in the Gemara. Rashi calls it a Pirush Meshubash. Tosfos over here has a long discussion justifying it in the Gemara. Anyway, but Hanosin Nami Yitma. Also, the Pasuk says anybody who carries it becomes Tamei. What does Hanosin mean? Umayuniu Nisa. It means anything that is carried above a Zav. Again, like an umbrella that's overhanging. My time of Hanisa Ksiv, because when the Pasuk says Hanose, it's written without a Vav, Choser, it's written Choser Vav, therefore it can be read as if we read it, Hanose. When we read the Torah, we read Hanose, but it could be read as if it said Hanisa, and therefore it means something which is carried over the Zav. Mind you, Tosfos says that actually our Sifrei Torah actually have the word Nose over there with the Vav. So this would be one of the examples. Tosfos says we're... Yeah, so therefore Tosfos says this is evidently one of the cases where our Masorah that we have in our Sefer Torah differs from the Gemara. Yeah, we have a couple of dozen places and a bunch of places all over Shas where you have such things. Well, but this is actually why we say, that there's actually a halacha when you're learning the Sefer Torah in Shul. If you find a mistake in Malayus and Chaseris, you find, for example, let's say this word Vanose is written without the Vav, you don't take out another Sefer Torah. Because who says our Sefer Torah, or who says that the other Sefer Torah we take out is going to be any more accurate than this one? Maybe the other one, maybe this one is correct and that one is wrong. So we still fix it after Shabbos or Yom Tov or whatever, so it should be the same as the Masorah that we have. But nevertheless, that's reason enough to not take out a different one on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Okay. Anyway, continues. As long as it's something that doesn't affect the pronunciation. If it's something that affects the pronunciation or the meaning, then you do take out a Sefer Torah. But like here, the Vav of Hanose doesn't affect the meaning. Either way, right. So therefore, the Gemara continues, Nitka Yakosav Mitumo Chamora. Now, by mentioning specifically this V'chol HaNegeash or V'chol HaShayir Tachsav Yitma, so the expression in the Pasuk goes like this. Anybody who touches anything that is underneath him, which we just said means that the Zav is underneath it, becomes Tomei, and anybody who carries them, it says Yechabit Begodav, has to dip his clothing in the Mitzvah. Now that means there's two different kinds of Tumas. One where he becomes Tomei, and one where he and his clothes become Tomei. Therefore, nitka yakosav mitumah chamora. Therefore, it means that the word yitma in the first part of the pasuk is taking it away from a stronger tumah, from the kind of tumah that's matame a person, the habiyah de tumah kala, and bring it to a lighter tumah, namely that rishon tumah. Loimalach, which teaches you, she'ena matame ala urchon amashkin. So the el yoyne shows up, the umbrella or whatever that's hanging over the zav is only matame food and drink. Nitzka Yakosav, the prophet pulls it away by saying v'chol anegeya v'chol asher yitachav yisma, and not yichabes gadav. Like it says throughout all the psukim over there about the zav, mostly it says anybody who touches the zav yichabes gadav, anybody who the zav sits on him yichabes gadav, anybody who sits on his bed yichabes gadav, etc. Here all of a sudden, so it says something's the lighter kind of tumah. But well, so it's a lighter kind of tumah, and therefore further, what it means is the yitma over here does not refer to a person touching him, that the person becomes tumah from touching the umbrella. It means that only food and drinks that touch it. Yitma, it, whatever it, food and drinks, touch that umbrella, will become tumah. So the question is why? Maybe it only means the Torah is taking away the stronger trauma. So if a person touches that umbrella, he and his clothes won't become trauma. Usually, many times, again, with the Zav, we say that not only the person who touches the thing of the Zav or whatever becomes trauma, and his clothes become trauma. That's the Yechavis Zadav. So over here, maybe it means the person doesn't have to dip his clothes in the mikveh.
You should say what?
No, but that's the thing. If it says Yitma, and then the next part of the passage says Yechavis Zadav, so maybe it means the first half of the pasuk is yitma, the person becomes tamei from touching the umbrella, and the second half, he carries it, we're saying, then you have it, begadim, etc. So maybe it means that dilema tama odom or tamei begadim, and the person doesn't become tamei to the extent that his clothes become tamei, aval odom oi begadim the tamei, but it should be the tamei people alone, or kalim, or begadim and kalim alone. The answer is, amakra yitma tuma kala mashma. Sure, but since the pasuk uses the expression yitma, it means only a very light degree of tuma. Otherwise, it could have said, Yuchat v'rochat v'soroy, as Sufim usually say over there, by saying Yitma, it implies that it's a lesser degree of Tumah. So therefore, Tulak Tumah Kala Mashma, so it's Mashma only a lighter degree of Tumah. So that's where we see that the Yoyne Shol Zav only has a lighter Tumah, it's only a Rishon Tumah, and it's only Matame Food and Drink. Next, so that's definitive as far as the Yoyne Shol Zav. And then, the next
thing about the Zav.
Well, anything above the Zav. So now, the next thing,
which
the Pashtas doesn't matter. So now we're going to talk about now the next part of the Gemara, which we'll leave for tomorrow, that's the Shem Kismayer time now. We'll talk about how we know that the same degree of Tumah applies to Tachtonish or Boyom Nida. Like this, in other words, a Zav or a Zavar or a Nida or a Yeledet, if they sit on a chair, the chair becomes an Ava Tumah. Anybody else who sits on that chair becomes themselves Tomei, they and their clothes become Tomei. With the Boyom Nida, we're saying a Boyom Nida sits on a chair, another person sits on it, he's not Tomei, because the chair is only a Rishon Tumah. No. That was our Yonishal Zot. Now we're talking about Tachtonishal Boyol Nida. What we're saying is like this. A person is Boyol Nida. Again, if he had been a Zav, for example, let's say, okay, Boyol Nida. His wife is a Nida. If his wife sits on a chair, she will make that chair an Avatoma. But if the Boyol Nida, her husband who had relations with her, if he sits on another chair, that chair will only be a Rishon Atoma. That's what we have to deal with. The next piece of the Gemara is going to deal with how we know that. It's more chamur if she sits on it than if he, who is boil her, sits on it. So we have to figure out how... Well, that's part of the curve. That's what we're going to learn tomorrow, how we know that. Okay.
Yeah.